Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about the Shahada and the martyrdom of Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, dear viewers, to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are here commemorating the Shahada, the martyrdom of Her Eminence Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam. Our condolences, of course, to all the believers all across the world upon Her Eminence's martyrdom. Here to talk a little bit about Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam, we have in the studio Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi from the Islamic Republic of Iran to talk to us a little bit. So let's go ahead and invite him. Sayyid Hashimi, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Assalamu alaikum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi al-Tahirin. First of all, I say salam to you, my brother Sayyid Shahriyar, and all the viewers. And before everything, my condolences to all the Muslims and believers across the world upon the martyrdom of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha. I hope that inshallah we can learn more about her life and her lifestyle and her traditions, inshallah, so it can help us to improve our Islamic life, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you. So, Sayyid Hashimi, of course, we had invited you again for this commemoration of the martyrdom of Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam. Of course, an individual and a persona in the history of Islam that really needs no introduction. Of course, her being the very most beloved daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wife of Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam, and of course the mother of beautiful children such as the leaders of the youth of paradise, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Of course, Lady Zainab, Umm Kulthum, peace and blessings upon them as well. But in this commemoration of her martyrdom, we really wanted to see what your take was. Of course, you know, we have the very traditional martyrdom and centered around those things. But I believe we wanted to open it up a little bit and just look at some of the different dimensions around the life of Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam, if you will, in the name of Allah.
Inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think I remember that we had some talks about Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, and there we talked about the spiritual level, the greatness of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha. Today, I'm going to talk about some social approach of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha during the time of the demise of Rasulullah.
Right.
Before that, I'm going to give you and the viewers an introduction. Sometimes when you live in your society, whether you live in Middle East or you live in the Europe, or live in United States and America, you see that we have people there, Muslim people, Shia people, followers of Ahlul Bayt. But you see that despite the fact that they are united in believing in Islam, in saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, but they have some kind of costumes and traditions that is coming from their, their culture or their
right,
their background,
the generations from before them, right?
Yes,
these customs and habits,
yeah.
right.
And they sometimes attribute this to Islam. Mm-hmm. This is a created Islam, not by Rasulullah,
sure,
but by us.
Sure.
I call this kind of Islam the cultural Islam.
Right.
The way we think about the, sometimes about the theology, the way we think about ahkam, the way we think about the marriage, the way we think about the treatment with other people.
Sure, sure.
The way we, improve our akhlaq and ethics mm-hmm. and manners. But if you look at the Islamic traditions, if you look at the Quran and Sunnah and the sayings of our great scholars, you see that there is a, great gap between this kind of Islam, so-called cultural Islam, and
right.
the original Islam.
Right.
That was the original teachings of Rasulullah and the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You know, Sayyid, here, just because it's interesting, this cultural Islam aspect, I think that perhaps some of the misconceptions that non-Muslims have about Islam is probably centered around this cultural Islam, and so when these two get mixed up, that non-Muslims, they don't know what is the cultural Islam, what is the pure Islam, you know, and even though Islam, and I'd like to get your comment on this, but Islam does not necessarily have a problem with cultures, right? I mean, it says you can have your clothing, your the way you want to eat, your food style, these things are fine, but that is your culture, and this is Islam. There is a difference between the two, if you'd like to comment on that.
And you know what's interesting, Brother Sayyid Shahriyar? You know, Shaykh Mutahari says that this cultural Islam is not just confined to the ahkam or the, you know, apparent lifestyle of Muslim people. It is sometimes even in the roots of their thoughts and beliefs. Like, for example, like tawakkul. How we think about the tawakkul. Dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Trust and reliance on Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes this reliance makes you, you know, do nothing in your life.
Right.
Why? Because you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here, my sustenance is upon Allah, and He will do this for me, and do this for me, and do that for me. So if I stay idle and doing nothing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, suffices. He's enough for me, okay? But when you look at the Quran and Sunnah about tawakkul, you see that on many occasions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah to do this and do that. فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ After you have your consultations and you decided and you are ready to do something, then تَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ this with the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So this
concept of tawakkul can be useful, can be advantageous with a great advantage, and can be corrupting. If you give that, you know, made up understanding of tawakkul, which is unfortunately sometimes can be found, you know, among the Muslim people, it gives you a lazy secondary generation, lazy secondary civilization. And this kind of concept of tawakkul, this does not come from Quran or Sunnah. The same thing goes with the, and we talked about this, I think, before, about the intidhar al-faraj.
The awaiting of the reappearance.
Reappearance of Imam al-Hujjah. How do you, you know, define this intidhar al-faraj, the awaiting? Sometimes you say that, okay, I'm here and I do nothing and I stay and wait for the Imam al-Hujjah.
But
the best and the better definition, which is compatible with the Quran and Sunnah, that you have duties, you have responsibilities before the reappearance of Imam al-Hujjah. Sometimes even the Orientalists or some other people, when they want to blame Islam for the problems and some of the shortcomings in the Islamic civilization, they say that this was from Islam. Islam made them to do this. And unfortunately, some kind of theological schools, they promoted some of this kind of the conceptions, like that we have about the free will and determinism and things like that, and we're not going to get into it needs another, you know, separated discussion. But, you know, it is very interesting, Sayyid, that when we look at the life of Lady Zahra Salamullah Aliyah, the moment the moment that Islamic Ummah was going to make up a version of Islam which is apparently a decent, maybe reasonable, logical version of Islam, but in the same time against the teachings of Rasulullah, Lady Zahra Salamullah Aliha stood against this kind of Islam.
This kind of, so you're saying cultural Islam.
Yes.
A kind of cultural Islam was coming into the scene and trying to replace what the original or pure Muhammadan Islam was. And Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Aliha, she stood up against this.
Yes. And what was the cultural Islam in that time? Ali alayhi salam was young.
Right. This is one of the things that they said.
When you're young and not competent enough to be the ruler of this great nation, another, you know, argument that every ruler must be from Quraysh. We have this kind of saying by Rasulullah. But that, you know, mindset was not based on the sayings of Rasulullah. Sure. They would say that we have, you know, more noble tribes among the Arab community. Quraysh is more noble. Quraysh has this, you know, prejudice. Quraysh is that. Quraysh is that. Sure. Okay, is this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So by this kind of argument, they would tell the Ansar people, the people of Medina, that the successor of Rasulullah should be from Quraysh. And in the same time, they would tell the Quraysh that the successor of Rasulullah has to be an old man that can govern other people, you know,
Muhajir,
be wiser. Yes. And yes, Muhajir, Muhajir is for the is the argument for the
Ansar.
Yes, Ansar people. But this another argument was for who? For even for Qurayshi people. So
right,
Ali is a very great person. He was very brave. We owe him for all those victories in the history of Islam, but he's young, he's not competent enough. And by this kind of arguments, they defied the decisive saying of Rasulullah on the day of Ghadir. Okay?
What the decisive saying of the Messenger of Allah of Man Kuntu Mawla Fahada, Aliun Mawla,
and
this actually an interesting point before we continue this sermon and this khutbah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually a very long khutbah.
Yeah,
right. We unfortunately or the people just know that Man Kuntu Mawla Fahada Aliun Mawla. You know, and that today your religion has been completed, but it's actually a very, very long khutbah, and
course.
The viewers should really check it out.
Yes, inshallah, on the day of Ghadir, we may can
inshallah,
this is we'll talk about that, inshallah. But look here what happens. Lady Zahra, which is the most modest woman in the universe in that time, and in all times, we believe. And it wasn't so usual for a woman to go to the mosque and speak out against people, but when she saw this situation, and when she saw that Amirul Mu'mineen could not interfere, because the moment Amirul Mu'mineen wanted to say anything, he would be blamed that you want power. And other companions, many of them remained silent, many of them, they were in the camp of those people who wanted to bring up the culture of Islam, and others, they were not able or they were not authentic enough for people to do this. So Lady Zahra salamullah alayha saw that this taklif, this duty, this responsibility is upon her shoulders. So she went to the mosque, and this is when she gave that famous, beautiful, remarkable sermon of Fadakiyya. And in that sermon, is not just for reclaiming the successorship and khilafah for Amir al-Mu'mineen. No, she is telling people that look what you're doing now. It's not just taking taking someone's right from him. Away from him. No, you're making a very big mistake in the history of Islam, and by that, the people after you, the people they come after you, all of them, they will feel that it's right for them to make up a so-called reasonable, maybe beautiful version of Islam and attribute this to Rasulullah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It's actually creating a massive amount of chaos here.
Yeah.
Right, as you said, so...
And it made this.
And it did create this immense amount of chaos where you have the seerah and the sunnah of the messenger, right? And you have Islam, you have the Quran, and then people come and based upon their own judgments, it's almost like this qiyas and tafsir bi-ray and all of these things put together. Well, in our opinion, it should be like this. In our opinion, you know, what happened to Allah's opinion?
Yeah.
What happened to the messenger's opinion? What happened to the, you know, the righteous companions? So Lady Fatimatu Zahra stands up and gives the sermon of Fadakiyya.
Against this. So if you look at that, you know, event like this, when you look at that incident from this perspective, you see that how great is the action and the act of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha in that time.
Right.
And how much insight you feel that Lady Zahra Salamullah Aleyha had in that time. It wasn't just about Fadak.
Right.
If you look at this khutbah, look, I just read some lines of khutbah to Fadakiyya for you. Lady Zahra Salamullah Aleyha there says that فَلَمَّا اِخْتَارَ اللَّهُ لِنَبِيِّهِ دَارَ أَنْبِيَائِهِ وَمَأْوَى أَصْفِيَائِهِ ذَهَرَ فِيكُمْ حَسْكَةَ النِّفَاقِ وَسَمَلَ جِلْبَابُ الدِّينِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose his prophet to elevate him to the paradise and after the demise of Rasulullah, ذَهَرَ فِيكُمْ حَسْكَةُ النِّفَاقِ, the signs of hypocrisy was, you know, emerges in you. وَسَمَلَ جِلْبَابُ الدِّينِ, and the cloth of the religion was going to be destroyed. وَنَّتَغَ كَاذِمُ الْغَاوِينَ وَنَبَغَ خَامِلُ الْأَقَلِّينَ. Okay, I'm not, yes. In here, yes. وَأَطْلَعَ الشَّيْطَانُ رَأْسَهُ مِنْ مَغْرَزِهِ. And this time, Shaitan, which was hidden in his shelter because of Rasulullah, in that time felt that this is a very good time.
And to came pop out his at head, the
yes.
Head.
Out of his hiding and shelter, and did what? Hatifan bikum, and started whispering to you. فَأَلْفَاكُمْ لِدَعْوَتِهِ مُسْتَجِبِينَ. And Shaitan found you that you are really ready to accept his invitation. وَلِلْغِرَّةِ فِيهِمُ الْأَحْذِينَ سُمَّ اسْتَنْهَذَكُمْ فَبَجَدَكُمْ خِفَافًا. Asked you to rise up. And Shaitan saw that you are very ready to rise up against the truth. Against the truth.
Right, right.
And how did this happen? If you look at the arguments and the dialogue between some people there and Lady Zahra Salamullah in this sermon, you see that what is their arguments? They say that Rasulullah has not any heritage. It doesn't inherit anything.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
La dirhaman wa la dinara. You see that in that kind of argument, they somehow want to justify how they, you know, hijacked the right of Amirul Mu'mineen.
Sure.
So when you see this steps of Lady Zahra Salamullah Aleyha, it was, you know, for us, it was monumental. It was something for us, you know, to every time, you know, study and get lessons from. So the moment that you feel that the real Islam is in danger, you have to confront. You have to stand up. Even if you're a woman, you're a woman. Lady Zahra Salamullah Aleyha, she was always in house. She was very, you know, covered. No one could easily, you know, see Lady Zahra Salamullah Aleyha. But when it comes, when it's about the reality of the religion, which is the manifestation of the all the realities and the greatness of the human ethics and divine values, you have to interfere and you have to stand against those people. And you know what was the impact? The impact was forever, even until now.
Yes.
We can easily, you know, distinguish. We can easily say that, yes, it's possible for some people to fabricate a version of Islam, and it is possible, and it is necessary for others to stand against that kind of Islam. Because if you live in that time, you see that all those people, they were fasting, they would pray, they would go to Hajj, they would pay the khums and zakat, they would even do al-amr bil-ma'ruf and nahi anil-munkar on some levels.
Right.
They would respect Rasulullah. Mm. But Zahra Salamullah Aleyha says, this is what? This is the whispering of Shaitan. Even if you are wearing the cloth of the religion.
Right.
And this is the most dangerous kind of approach of Shaitan against the human being.
And so, yeah. I mean, so first off, one of the questions that came to my mind is that, so the chain of transmission and the reliability of this khutbah Fadakiyya, the sermon of Fadak, of Lady Zahra, Salamullah Aleyha, this is a reliable.
Yeah. It was narrated in the Al-Ihtijaj for Tabarsi, and it is in the 6th or the 7th century, and it is reliable according kind of the understanding and studying the hadith.
Yeah. Right, excellent. Yeah, because sometimes for some reason people when, you know, when they have no other naqd, and they have no other way, so they say, oh, the chain of transmission is messed up, or the reliability is under question, or so here just wanted to make sure that the viewers also know that the reliability of this khutbah is sound. It is reliable. Yeah. And the next step is to really go and read this khutbah, read this sermon of Lady Fatimatu Zahra that she gave in such a chaotic situation, right, where the track of Islam is being, you know, very cunningly and in a very bullying manner, if you look at the historical records, it's being changed to go in a different direction. And this different direction, is leading to more and more chaos. Because it's like, you know, the farther you go in time, the farther you're going from the original point. Until you get to, until somebody, for example, I'll say, well, somebody like Yazid comes to power, right? Who, in the name of religion, is not only destroying the religion. So on one side, he's making the religion up. On the other side, he's saying there was no wahi, there was no messenger. On the other side, he's drinking openly. On the other side, he's killing the grandson of the messenger of Allah.
And many people accept him. And that is the problem.
And this starts here in with the shahadat of Lady Fatimah.
Yes, and recognize people like Yazid as a successor of Rasulullah. That is the problem. And this is how shaitan comes with the cloth of a monk. With the cloth of a divine man, but maybe this discussion, raises another question in the minds of our brothers and sisters, dear viewers, and that is, when we, hear this, what pops up in our minds, that what do you say about going back to the origins of Islam is somehow similar to some of the schools in the Ahl Sunnah, which are called Salafism. Salafism. Because they always said that we have to return to the As-Salaf As-Saleh. The first ages of Islam, the first followers of Rasulullah and the Tabi'een and the Sahaba. And we saw the consequence of that kind of understanding in different places. And now all across the Muslim world, you see the consequence of that kind of idea. First of all, yes, we say that we have to go back to the teachings of Rasulullah. But the path of going back is different.
Sure.
The path of going back is, highly different. Why? And it is another discussion, just a short information about that. We believe that Islam, the original Islam, has this ability to adopt and make itself compatible with different ages. So when we say that we go back to Islam, we return to the original Islam, it doesn't mean that we are going to literally apply everything in the city of Medina and Mecca on today's life. No, it's not correct. And we believe that it wasn't the intention of Rasulullah. Sure. Like we have a narration that some man in the time, Amir al-Mu'mineen in that time was Khalif, I think. Ask Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen was aging and his beard, his holy beard, was white. And ask Amir al-Mu'mineen, didn't you hear Rasulullah tells the men of the old Muslim men that غَيِّرُ الشَّيْبِ, change the color of your beard?
Right.
Don't leave it white, color it. Mm. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, yes, I heard this and that is correct. And Rasulullah said that. But it does not apply on today's life. Why? Because Amir al-Mu'mineen says that I know why Rasulullah said that. Rasulullah said that in the time that we just arrived in Medina. We weren't so many. There were just a few Muslims.
Sure.
So in the battles and in Ghazawat, when we confronted the enemy, many of us were old men with white beard. And people in front of us, they would think that they are
just old guys.
Weak army.
Yeah.
Rasulullah would tell us to change the color of our beard so we look younger.
Strong.
Younger and stronger. And it makes them to be frightened from the army of Islam, or at least they don't think that it's an easy battle.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Amir al-Mu'minin says, but today it's not necessary. Yes, it doesn't mean that I, as a fallible man, today can say that what was for the time of Rasulullah and what wasn't for the time of Rasulullah. But we believe that within the traditions of Islam, it was said that which ahkam and which kind of conceptions of Islam is limited to a time or to a specific subject or a specific place, and what is not like this.
Right, right.
And we believe that if we go back to the origins of Islam like this, that Islam is enough. It is more than enough for today's life. And it doesn't end up in Salafism. And you know, even the Salafism are not all the ISIS. We have to know
right,
that.
Right.
Even Salafism in the school of, yes, our brothers, Ahl Sunnah, there are some people of them really intelligent. They understand this. They think about today's life and today's lifestyle. And, you know, there were some orthodox radical branches of the Salafism that ended up to be like Taliban or ISIS
or groups
like that.
Yeah. And conveniently or interestingly, let's say, there's a lot of funding from Western countries such as the United States of America and the UK, and then that makes it even more suspicious.
Yeah.
Is that you had these, you know,
they fund this branch of Islam.
They fund this branch, and it's interesting.
They like
them. in the recent rioting that happened in the Islamic Republic of Iran, so they picked up a cache of weapons, right?
Yeah.
And so it was so strange because they showed it on the TV, and all of the weapons that they picked up, and apparently these weapons were coming in from Iraq.
Yeah.
And also from northern Iraq, the Kurdistan region. And then John Bolton said that, they're being armed and all these things.
We did this,
But then they showed these weapons, and the weapons, they had this really big, big, bold letters, made in USA, you know? And so we would have thought that, okay, the Islamic Republic is, you know, they printed, they wrote made in USA. But you have Mr. John Bolton on the other side admitting that, that weapons are being transferred.
Yes.
You know, so...
And the proof is Syria. You don't even need the proof from Iran. You have the proof of Syria, 11 years of war and problems and all those trials and turbulences of the people of Syria. And they, even until now, they don't dare to say that we did this.
Right.
They still want to blame others for their crimes in Syria, for the how they funded the most, the vilest creatures of God here in
savage,
Syria,
really,
to savage people to commit the most heinous crimes there, in the name of Islam. So it was beneficial for them, because if they could not succeed, they would say that, look how Muslim are.
Yes.
Look at these people. If they could succeed. Yes, they could break the line of the resistance. Yes.
So, I mean, it's interesting when we were talking about this, you know, we had said that Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, she stood up in order to bring, or at least bring awareness, to shock the people awake. And when you read her khutbah, her sermon, right, that she gave in Masjid al-Nabawi, in the Masjid of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you read it, you can tell that there's a lot of power, and she's trying to shake the people awake, you know, like as if they're in a slumber, you know, they don't know what's happening, it's all happening too fast, in order to prevent this derailing of Islam. One of the things that came to my mind, you know, and hopefully you'll comment on this, but immediately was this idea of how even from Imam Khomeini's time, because Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, he started to talk about these things. American Islam, you know, and then more recently you see that Imam Khamenei, may Allah protect him, talks about British Shiaism or American Sunniism or American Islam. These versions of Islam that, or for this Salafi, jihadi, terrorist, Daesh guys, you know, in the Ahl al-Sunnah, they did this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How these different kinds of Islam are detrimental to Islam itself, right?
Yeah.
One of our teachers had quoted, he said that the external danger to Islam is less than these internal dangers to Islam.
Of course, yeah.
If you'd like to comment on that.
Yes, they are detrimental to the Islam because it's not just because of the picture of Islam. Sometimes we say that this kind of thoughts and ideas, they are detrimental to Islam because they give us a bad picture to other people, other nations. No, even for the people within the Islamic community, they are detrimental because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these teachings. Right. For a person to do this conveniently and evolve and elevate itself, himself, to get the higher levels of spirituality. But when you mix this with everything, you know, and poison this kind of teaching, you will leave these people confused. And this is exactly what happened. Today, if you go to the Muslim communities, you see that people are really sometimes people are anxious, confused. What is the reality of Islam? What is Islam? What is not Islam? Yes?
Right.
So the greatest impact is upon Muslim people. And this is what caused disunity. You know, this is what caused these problems, chaos, and all those problems in the Islamic communities for hundreds of years. For hundreds of years. We could be better. Our nations, our states could be better, could be more prosperous, could be more powerful, you know, against all those tyrannies of this world. But unfortunately, one of the main reasons is this mixture of the truth and the falsehood by people that they, maybe some of those people, they had good and pure intentions. I don't know. Some of them we know that they had not good intention. They were funded by others. They were deceived by others. But some people, they wanted to do something good for Islam, but because of the lack of knowledge, the result of their actions was against the reality of Islam.
Islam. Yeah. Sayyid, I do want to thank you for coming and talking about such an important subject and something that, you know, we connected to the present time, which was the martyrdom of Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, the part of the Messenger of Allah. In one tradition, in from Bihar al-Anwar, I believe volume 10, it was in there that the Prophet, Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to the extent, he said that not only is she part of me, right? And it's interesting, in the translation and the way that I read it, it didn't say that she is a part of me.
Yeah.
That A was removed. She is part of me.
Yeah.
And she is the, you know, Qurratu Ayn al-Rasul. She is the light and the happiness and the joy of the eye of the Messenger of Allah. And that she is my flower and that she is my soul.
Yeah.
At one point it says that she is my soul and how she stood up for the defense of...
And she was like the mother for Rasulullah.
Yes, she was the mother of Rasulullah, you know. To come out and you, you know, very eloquently to speak about her in honor of her. I don't know if, I think I'll let you have the last word and kind of conclude. Especially this idea of the present day, where, you know, you had said that we learn from Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, alayha salam, how to stand up, not just for wilaya and not just for the messenger, but and not just for the Quran, but to stand up for Islam.
Yeah.
And how it's necessary because, well, I'll give a mini conclusion before your conclusion
because I've
already started talking. I apologize.
Yeah,
you know, but so for example, we might say that, or some might say that, you know, Her Eminence Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, alayha salam, zahiran, superficially, she didn't win, because that track of taking Islam tours continued.
Yeah.
So she didn't win. But what as a humble student, I would say that the fact that she stood up has permanently remained in history.
Yeah.
And that is one of the victory. Because now throughout history, people will continue to read that sermon. They will continue to think about this stand that she took. And this revolution of Lady Fatima, alayha salam, continues to the present day. And I leave it to you for the last
word. Thank you. You know, Islam is really mazloom.
It's very oppressed.
بدأ غريباً started as a stranger, Islam itself, not Rasulullah,
yes,
and oppressed, really. And even until now, and say Ya'ud Ghariban, and it will become Gharib. Mm. What does Gharib mean, a stranger? Yes, you have more than 1.5 billion Muslims, and inshallah, more than that, one day near, inshallah, reaches the 2 billion, inshallah, Rahman. But the reality of Islam is Gharib.
Sure.
Is stranger amongst us, the Muslims, Shia Muslims, Sunni Muslims. Because the human being always wants to put its desires at the first place, the first level.
A priority.
Yes, and gives it the priority. And Islam sometimes is not compatible with our desires and what we love, because it's about the elevation, it's about the evolution. And evolution does not come always with comfort and the, as you said, superficial happiness. So Zahra salamullah alayha sacrificed her life, even her children, her respect. And she could live as a noble woman, as a descendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sits in her house doing dua, doing supplication, but she did not do that. She sacrificed his life when she was so young for this Islam, because she realized that al-Islam bada'a gharib, Islam is a stranger. And in that time, after Rasulullah, it was so obvious that after 23 years of hard efforts and putting all those efforts and all those lives and all those contributions and works for Islam, at the end of the day, they easily are doing what? Are diverting the sayings and words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think this is our duty, even in this time. And more importantly, and most importantly, in this time. Because this time, as I said, yes, we have more than 1.5 billion Muslims, but Islam amongst Muslims and among others is a stranger, is gharib. So it requires sacrifice. It requires giving away something. So inshallah, first of all, we understand the reality of Islam, and then we can preach it, promote it, and we can teach others about the reality of Islam. And actually, for that, inshallah, we have to do tawassul to the great spirit of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, which is so valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If she asks anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reject. Salamullahi alayha.
Thank you, Jazakallah khair so much, Sayyid Hashmi, for taking time out, coming in and talking to us about this, the martyrdom of Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam, as well as this stand that she took, and of course how it relates to us in the present day. May Allah bless you, and we hope to see you soon again. And dear viewers, thank you again for joining us on the talk show. Our condolences to all the believers all across the world, wherever they are, upon the martyrdom anniversary of Her Eminence Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam. Peace and blessings upon you all. Until another episode, that's all from us. Fi amanillah, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.